Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Bob McLean.
Sing me.
Bob McLean.
Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and hump day alohas to you. Sun is shining, skies are blue. Great to have you as we enter into the 5 o'clock follies, most heavily commuted and heavily congested hour of the show. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcome. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation. Just grab the phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. If you prefer to send me a text message, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number is 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. Earlier in the program, I shared with you the news that was released today from our friends at Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton. The guy who runs that organization, confirming that over 49,000 of Hillary's server emails were found on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And as a result, also were discovered in the executive office of Barack Hussein Obama. Thomas Lifson, writing at the American Thinker today, the walls are closing in on Obama. The truth of violations of law by the Obama White House, long buried, being excavated by two private groups. And I stress that. You know, we hear all these congressional investigations, subpoenas being issued for Trump's former attorney, the two-year investigation by Robert Mueller. Where's the investigation into Hillary? Judicial Watch has obtained testimony from a top FBI official that Hillary's homebrew server emails were found in the White House. So what's this mean? Well, it means that Obama's illegal handling of classified information contained in those emails is closer to being exposed. And many believe that if you extrapolate this out, that would go a long way towards explaining why Comey, in his July televised appearance a couple of years ago, said, well, no reasonable prosecutor would pursue this case. Yeah, because they knew it went right back to Obama's White House. And that implicates him in the same felonies committed by Hillary Clinton, which the now-departed FBI director, James Comey, falsely claimed no reasonable prosecutor would pursue. Judicial Watch announcing today a senior FBI official admitted in writing and under oath that the agency found Clinton email records in the Obama White House, specifically the Executive Office of the President. Nearly 49,000 emails from the Clinton homebrew server were reviewed as a result of a search warrant for her material on the laptop of Anthony Weiner. Bill Priestap, assistant director of the FBI CI division, that's counterintel, made the disclosure to Judicial Watch as part of a court-ordered discovery into the Clinton email issue. U.S. District Federal Court Judge Royce Lamberth ordered Obama administration senior State Department officials, attorneys, and Clinton aides, as well as Priestap, to be deposed or to answer written questions under oath. And the court ruled that the Clinton email system was, quote, in the words of the judge, one of the gravest modern offenses to government transparency, which is another way of saying violation of the Espionage Act. Priestap was asked by Judicial Watch to identify representatives of Hillary, her former staff, and government agencies from which email repositories were obtained. In other words, these locations all had emails from Hillary's homebrew server. Brian Pagliano, Cheryl Mills. Cheryl Mills was one of those under investigation in looking into Hillary and the email server, and yet, as she was granted immunity and she was allowed to act as Hillary's attorney when she was, quote, unquote, interrogated by the FBI about the homebrew server. The executive office of the president, that would be Obama's office, and then it goes on to list U.S. Department of State, U.S. Secret Service, and Williams and Connolly, that is a high-powered Washington law firm. Priestap also testified that nearly 49,000 emails were reviewed as a result of the warrant for Clinton email account information from the laptop of Anthony Weiner. He, of course, was the former husband of top Clinton aide Uma Abedin. This astonishing confirmation made under oath by the FBI shows that the Obama FBI had to go to President Obama's White House office to find emails that Hillary tried to destroy or hide from the American people, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. No wonder Hillary has thus far skated. Barack Obama is implicated in her email scheme. Now, remember, Obama's on record as having said, well, I had no idea that Hillary Clinton had a private email server. I didn't know it. I found out about it the same way you did when the press reported it. Yeah. Which ranks as about as big a lie as if you like your doctor, you can keep it. Priestap had been ordered to answer the written questions by Judge Lamberth when he ruled in January that Judicial Watch's discovery could begin in Hillary's email scandal as a result of the FOIA lawsuit launched way back in July of 2014. Judicial Watch continues its invaluable service to the Republic, gets more bang for the buck from their contributions than any other political organization that relies on donations by pursuing these FOIA lawsuits where it matters. Now, there's a second scandal threat for the Obama administration that also is slowly being excavated because proof is piling up that White House operatives exploited the NSA's surveillance of all electronic communications in the United States to monitor political opponents. There's a really long and detailed post by Sundance. A lot of you may follow Sundance, who posts at the website Conservative Treehouse, that defies any possibility of concise summary. But if you put together the information from the Mueller report with the ruling by the FISA court judge, Rosemary Collier, Sundance teases out the clear implications. And it requires some extensive reading and some time and focus to follow, but it's rewarded by a deeper understanding of how the Obama administration actually did spy on its opponents, not just the Trump campaign. Okay, and that's it. Conservative Treehouse. It's a posting by someone who identifies themselves as Sundance. Okay, you want to learn more about it? It's all there. How far down the road will this be pursued? We shall see. But more and more is coming to light. Quarter after five here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here. We go to the phones when I come right back on the other side here on Hump Day. Boom, boom, boom. Rumbling with Link Ray.
All right, Dan.
522 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Occasionally we get somebody that is used to texting us and inadvertently, you know, thinks that they're texting a friend or a family member or something and inadvertently sends it to us, like this one just in on the text line. Hey, I'm at Costco. And then 1 minute later, oop, never mind. Realized, sent it to the wrong place. So I texted back. All righty then. Oh. There you go. Also in on the text line, Bob, sorry to hear the passing of our friend Ed Jensen. Bob, so glad you mentioned Conservative Treehouse. That's been my go-to place for real news for over a year. It takes a little time to get used to the format, but it's so well worth the effort. Go to CTH, Conservative Treehouse, read. You'll be more informed than 95% of America. Bobby, remind me again, didn't Obama run on transparency for his presidency? Yeah. And then closed down and locked up every piece of information about his past. Back to and including his school records to kindergarten. Yeah, so much for transparency. Bobby, I feel like this is old news on Obama. In 2016, there were articles of Obama using a pseudonym when emailing Hillary. Yeah, that's true. But, of course, the lamestream media paid no attention to it. Bobby, what's happened to little Annie Robards on the show? Little Annie is on medical leave right now. She had a hip replacement and is recuperating nicely and will be back with us before long. Bobby, I went through a long bout of identity theft. God, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I felt much better about that than I do about the theft from South Carolina legislators. At least I didn't vote for the hacker. Bobby, so sorry to hear of the passing of Ed Jensen. Prayers go out to his family and the 106.3 WORD family. He had the voice of a kind person. To the phones we go. Let's go south. Let's go to Simpsonville next and bring in Dan. Hello, Dan, and welcome to the Hump Day Bobby Mac Show.
Hi, Bob. I caught your reading the article in the last segment.
Yes.
I think anyone who's been paying attention to what's been going on the last 3 or 4 years, and even probably a little bit before that, up to the last 8 years or so, has known that this has been going on.
Yep.
Okay, the previous administration was extremely corrupt, and I think we're seeing more and more and more of that to prove our point. One of the things that will fix this, I should say, is that the onion needs to be peeled away, and everyone involved needs to do some serious time.
Agreed.
And it needs to be made very public. I would also say that I think a lot of this was empowered when the IRS was able to target opposing political groups and nothing happened.
Yep.
There were some hearings. There was some, saber rattling by certain people. And then it just all went away.
Well, as you probably remember, Dan, Lois Lerner, who was the point person for that that obstruction of federal tax law by the IRS, testified before Congressman Trey Gowdy's committee. She took the Fifth and then proceeded to read this long statement about how she was as pure as the driven snow. And Lois Lerner was allowed to retire and get her pension.
Exactly. And so until that's cleaned up, then I don't have much faith in it, but these people need to do some serious time, and I'll leave you with that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate the call. Good to have you here. Bobby, until we follow, hope Ed Jensen holds down the booth where the home team always wins and the news is always good. Rest in peace, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anything else in here? No, I think I'm caught up on the text line. This is somewhat surprising news. Yeah. Did you know that Jesus was not Jewish? Yeah. Well, at least according to Muslim Democrat representative from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar. She retweeted a tweet which said that Jesus was a Palestinian. It's a pretty big revelation. A Jewish rabbi, however, is saying au contraire, calling out the Muslim lawmaker who's been accused of anti-Semitism in the past, and the New York Times for pushing the notion that Jesus was a Palestinian. Rabbi Abraham Cooper, associate and director of Global Social Action Agenda at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, calls out Representative Omar after she retweeted a tweet from Omar Suleiman, an adjunct professor of Islamic studies at SMU in Dallas, who said a Palestinian relative asked him why the Christian right in America largely supports their oppression. Suleiman wrote that his relative asked, "Don't they know Jesus was a Palestinian?" Well, Representative Omar retweeted that claim. The day before the tweet, a New York Times op-ed claimed Jesus, born in Bethlehem, was most likely a Palestinian man with dark skin. Cooper accused the New York Times of fake news and said both are trying to rewrite history with the claim Palestine was a name made up by Romans after they crucified thousands, destroyed the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, and exiled the people of Israel from their homeland, Cooper wrote. Others called out Omar for following the retweet. No, Jesus was Jewish, actually, said Fred Menachem, a media commentator. I'm a bit surprised that a congressperson would retweet false and inaccurate information. The account for students supporting Israel said, "Are you for real? Jesus was a Jew. What's next? The Pope is also Palestinian? Stop lowering our IQ." you got to. She is part of the Axis of Evil, of course, along with the other Muslim representative and, of course, the sainted AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. 529 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Patrick's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side. 5 o'clock Follies rolls on Hump Day.
Side effects may include drowsiness and loss of appetite.
Oh, I certainly hope not. 5:36, 24 before 7. Before 7. I'm trying to get through with the show on Hump Day as quickly as I can. 24 before 6 here on the Bobby Mac Show.
Go!
Thank you. In on the text line, Bobby, everybody knows Jesus was Episcopalian. Geez, did these people get any stupider? Bob, sorry for Greenville's loss of newsman Ed Jensen. His voice and delivery reminded me of a newsman years ago on WOR 710 in New York and Joe Niagara on Radio 99 WIBG Philadelphia. He will be missed. Do you know I did mornings at Wibbage? Yeah. In addition to, doing mornings on every other radio station in America from Dallas to New York. Bobby, Lois Lerner could not do math, and yet she ran the IRS. Also went on the text line, I did what you told me, now where do I hide the bodies? Uh-oh, sorry, wrong text address. Okay, here we go. Time for today's edition of Stupid School News. Wake Forest University, how the mighty have fallen. This is a Baptist school, right? Demon deacons. Surprisingly, they've hung on to that for their mascot. Surprised they haven't gone to something more generic. Wake Forest University is hosting a series of listening sessions for faculty and staff of color that aim to advance inclusion efforts on campus. How are they going to be more inclusive? By excluding any whites. See, everything they say, it's the opposite. The listening sessions come amid ongoing racial tensions on campus, drummed up by the left, including a protest Monday at which some students decried the white supremacy that allegedly runs rampant at the private North Carolina Institution of Higher Learning. Quote, "Dear faculty and staff colleagues, this is a reminder about our upcoming listening sessions on inclusion that I'm holding for faculty and staff of color over the next several weeks," stated an 18th April email from Michelle Gillespie, dean of the college, to campus employees. So what is the left's idea of promoting inclusivity? Excluding whites, this will be a no whites allowed faculty and staff listening session. Meantime, Williams College is planning to review and revise its policies due to student outrage over a faculty petition to adopt principles in favor of free speech on campus. There's a great idea. Free speech must be stamped out. Student protesters claim that free speech is harmful to minorities and therefore must be curtailed. You know, I have reviewed the Constitution in numerous instances. I've even gone over the Bill of Rights. And in those founding documents, nowhere can I find a guarantee that you will not be offended. You don't have a constitutional right to not be offended. Faculty at Williams College are seeking to adopt the Chicago principles. Gee, I wonder where they got that idea. Which free speech advocates consider the gold standard of free speech philosophy. According to a report by Insider Higher Ed, the proposal has reportedly sparked backlash among students who are demanding that speech be curtailed on campus. Well, how would they feel if their free speech was curtailed on campus? Have they even thought about that? I thought universities existed to have a free exchange of ideas, to debate issues, and to arrive at conclusions based on the results of the debate. The Chicago Principles, formerly known as the Report of the Committee on Freedom of Expression, are a set of guidelines published by the University of Chicago acknowledging that universities should uphold free speech on their campi. The guidelines, also endorsed and championed by the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, or FIRE. So they're all in favor of free speech, as long as it's free speech that they agree with. But when it's free speech that they don't agree with, then you have no right to free speech because it is harmful to minorities. This is as crazy as announcing that something's being done for inclusivity and then excluding people from it. No surprise that Facebook is cracking down on conservative content. And we see more examples of this. Todd Starnes, for example, from Fox News, has a tough time getting on Facebook. Todd recently wrote just yesterday, new high school textbook describes President Trump as mentally ill and his supporters as racist. Beginning next year, many advanced placement students will be using an American history textbook that depicts President Trump as mentally ill and his supporters as racists. The textbook, published by Pearson Education, that's a division of Karl Marx Industries, I guess, is titled By the People, A History of the United States. Final section of the book, titled The Angry Election of 2016, is especially critical of the president. Quote, most thought that Trump was too extreme a candidate to win the nomination, but his extremism, his anti-establishment rhetoric, and some said his not very hidden racism connected with a significant number of primary voters. The author wrote. The author then goes on to describe the president's supporters as mostly older, often rural or suburban, and overwhelmingly white. Clinton supporters feared that the election had been determined by people who were afraid of a rapidly developing ethnic diversity of the country, discomfort with their candidate's gender, and nostalgia for an earlier time in the nation's history. Oh, you mean like when we enforced our laws regarding the border? That earlier time in the nation's history? They also worried about the mental stability of the president-elect and the anger that he and his supporters brought to the nation. This is in a textbook, for God's sake. In other words, AP students, advanced placement students, are going to be taught that President Trump is mentally insane and his supporters are a bunch of irredeemable deplorables. These descriptions would be laughable But this garbage is being shoved into the minds of impressionable American teenagers. Tara Snyder, a student at Rosemount High School in Minnesota, told Fox News she was appalled after seeing how blatantly biased the textbook was towards Trump and his voters. She said it also glossed over overall issues that then-Democrat president candidate Hillary Clinton faced during her campaign. A Pearson spokesperson defended the textbook, pointing out that the book underwent rigorous peer review to ensure academic integrity. Peer review by a similar bunch of pinheaded academics in the ivory towers of academia who all sit there with tenured contracts making $250,000 a year while their TAs teach all the classes so that they can write their next book about how insane President Trump is. Why would anybody go into massive debt to send their children to these cathedrals of mislearning? Quarter before five here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more as we cruise on through the 5 o'clock follies here on Hump Day for deplorables everywhere. Oh, angry deplorables. I'm sorry. Welcome back. Great to have you along here at 5:51, 9 before 6 here in the Bobby Mac Show. You've been following Jeopardy recently? Yeah, the guy who keeps winning record amounts of money on Jeopardy yesterday passed $1 million. His name is James Holzhauer. He's only the second Jeopardy contestant ever to go over $1 million, and he won his 14th game yesterday. Ken Jennings, you recall, won more than $2.5 million back in 2004, but it took him 74 straight wins to get there. Here's what it sounded like yesterday.
On May 1st, 1869, these two men met at the White House 4 years and 3 weeks after a more historic meeting between them. Claudia, you're going to finish in second place unless James did something really, really weird. And I don't think he would have. Did he come up with Grant and Lee? He did. And he says, "Hi, Autumn." That season doesn't begin for months.
Yeah, it's not her birthday for a while either, but...
Oh, all right. What will your total be today? You're going to add 50,000. That takes you up to 118,816. And now a 14-day total of 1 million. 61,554.
I have suggested to my baby doll Brenda that they allow the other contestants to just stand by, because James is pretty quick with a buzzer, and Alex ask a question, and if he misses it, then give the other people a check. Because the way it's going right now, I mean, Alex throws a pitch and the guy hits it out of the park. Pretty amazing. He is a professional sports gambler from Las Vegas, by the way. To the phones we go. Ron is next up. He is in Moore. Hi, Ron, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Bobby Mac. Thank you for taking this call.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
Hey, I just got a couple comments. You know, I've come to the realization that these Democrats, and particularly those that are seeking the nomination and some of those in leadership in Congress, the only thing that they've got on their mind now is to impeach or subpoena President Trump,
right,
or any of his administration. I don't think that they care about making America great. I don't think that they care anything about America. They care about one thing: to delete, get President Trump impeached, and that's all they've got on their mind.
Which is another way of saying all they care about is power for themselves.
Yes, sir. And I don't understand why that the voting Democratic people don't understand and don't see what these leaders, what they're trying to do. And I just hope for goodness that we get them voted out of office if there's any of the representatives running this year. Hope we get them out of the office and maybe the senators next year.
Yep.
And I got one comment about our local politics. I know
yes,
you mentioned some of the senators and some of the representatives.
Right.
That voted against some of the things that they didn't need to be voting against. But my representative, can I call his name?
Yeah, sure.
Mike Foster.
Mm-hmm.
My representative, my district, is a do nothing representative, and I hope that someone comes out in the Republican primary that will challenge him this coming year, and I'll do everything in my power to defeat him. I won't vote for a Democrat now.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but we need a challenger, a Republican challenger, in this district, to go up against him.
Gotcha, Ron. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, sir. RJ is next up. He is in my stomping grounds of Taylor's. Hi, RJ, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call today, Mr. McClain.
Yes, sir.
And I was just calling. To comment on the loss of the late, great Ed Jensen. I've been a professional radio listener for over 20 years to WORD, and Ed was a giant in the news radio department, and he'll be sorely missed. My deepest condolences to you, the station, and his family. And in closing, I've got a quick joke that I know you'll give me the appropriate sound effects at the end of the joke.
I'll try.
Did you hear about the dog that was diagnosed with methamphetamine that was walking down the swamp rabbit trail?
No, I didn't.
Well, when they were taking the report, the owner was asked what breed of dog he was, and the owner commented that he was a meth lab.
Side effects may include drowsiness and loss of appetite.
That probably is one that Ed would appreciate.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, RJ. I appreciate it. Yeah. For those 20 years that Ed was talking about, that RJ was talking about, that he was listening to WRD for 17 of those. Ed, of course, was our news director and ran the news department, and was, as I've described him earlier in the program, Ed was an old-time news hound. He would grab a story, get the bit between his teeth, and very little got past Ed. Let me put it that way. One more to go. The bonus hour is still ahead here on the Bobby Mac Show on Hump Day.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.